The Dogs of War podcast is brought to you by Fansided. Party on, Raleigh, and party on, Kevin.
Hey! Dogs of War! Dogs of War! Podcast! Cleveland Browns!
It's the offseason. It's time to talk Brown stuff with your excellent co-host, Raleigh. And with him, as always, is equally excellent co-host, Kevin. Browns confirmed, Raleigh. And Browns confirmed, Kevin.
Dogs of War!
And we are live. You want to bring it in?
Now you bring it in.
Welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast. This is Kevin along with...
Raleigh.
Yeah, there we go. And when our powers combine, well, we already introed, that's the Dogs of War podcast. Happy Friday, June 4th. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, we are here, brought to you by Fansided. No ads this week, Raleigh. So the ads we've been crushing the last few weeks, we don't have any for this episode, so we're good.
We're poor again.
Yes. Special guest.
Oh,
big
shit.
Guest.
Wait a sec, dude. It says live. Does it say 8 seconds, 9 seconds?
No. We're on 44 seconds.
Yeah, I got 44 too.
Wow, a lot of momentum I was building up there and then just got killed. It's all right though. Big guest. She is the host and founder of Just a Girl from Cleveland podcast. She has the blog justagirlfromcle.com. One of my favorite Cleveland sports Twitter follows, Miss Abby Mueller. Abby, welcome to the Dogs of War podcast and thanks for coming on with like 20 minutes notice.
Yes. No, thank you so much for having me. I'm super pumped to be here with you guys.
Likewise. So what we always do, we bring guests on. Our listeners know the drill. Love to hear, one, were you born into the Cleveland fandom? Were you conned into it? Did you lose a bet? And then number two, talk to us about how you started your blog and podcast. I see you just put out your 50th episode, if my homework is correct.
Yep.
Raleigh, do we have 50 episodes? I think so. But
that's a great somewhere question. Up there.
I think we're almost to 100, I think, actually. Not that's competition. I just didn't realize that's a lot of episodes. Yes, you do. I mean, that's hard to do. That to the consistency and to put out 50 episodes of anything is hard. But yeah, tell us everything.
Yeah, so born and raised in Cleveland. I grew up in, went to North Royalton schools, born and raised a Cleveland sports fan to my core. My parents' first date was at a Cavs game. Like, my dad truly says the reason he married my mom is because she likes sports a lot, which it's a respectable answer. I can roll with that, but it is in my blood. Growing up, I sat in the dog pound at Browns games with my dad when he had season tickets. He did get rid of those season tickets for a few of the bad years, unfortunately, but I can't necessarily blame him. So I've just always been a huge fan. And then when it came to starting this podcast, I started it in, I want to say, March of 2019. I was 1 year out of college and I had just moved to a new city. I had moved to Pittsburgh, actually, starting a new job there. Yeah, so that was an interesting experience in itself, too. I am back in Cleveland now, got away from the enemy territory, but I really wanted to find an outlet to talk about sports because I think a lot of people experience this when they come out of college, trying to find a passion or something that they're really invested in, because the real world hits you fast and you're like, I need something to excite me, you know, every week and every day other than just your full-time corporate job that you're doing. So I started the podcast, like I said, March of 2019, and it's just been a fun outlet, almost a venting session for me to talk about our sports teams and get out any feelings I'm having. You're kind of limited on Twitter to certain number of characters. And, you know, I've said this before on Twitter too, that there are no nuanced opinions on Twitter. So sometimes it's nice to be able to have a podcast to give those nuanced opinions and have a more grand conversation about things rather than just, you know, a couple of characters on Twitter and, you know, arguments ensue then from those. So that's how I end up here today, still doing the podcast. Like you said, I just hit 50 episodes, which was really exciting, and I'm still having fun doing it. It's hard in the football off season to come up with interesting things to say. So obviously I am a Cavs and Indians fan as well, but when it comes to the Browns, that's the most fun to talk about and the most interesting to talk about. So, yeah, that's on today.
Two things for those of us that didn't go to college like 2 years ago. What is nuanced? What does nuanced mean again? Oh, my wife was just telling me that my vocabulary sucks. Yeah, like, she's right.
It is like having more
a particular yeah, like, a nuance to it.
Yeah, like more complex conversations about it. Like not just, you know, you make one statement and people take that as like the Bible and they don't want to have like a bigger conversation about it. And I think that's the problem Brown's Twitter runs into sometimes. Talking about things and really like actually talking them through on a podcast is a better way to have conversations sometimes.
So you did what we didn't we start in 2019?
Wait, what's the summer? We were July 2019. I think it was our first episode.
July 2019. So you
it was 2 years.
We started a podcast. We're jacked up about the super team and
Freddie Kitchens.
Then we got Freddied.
We both started our respective podcasts for the same thing then, like therapeutic venting is exactly why we really started it too.
Are you friends with Gab Gowdy?
I've talked to her before. We lived in Pittsburgh at the same time. So we kind of like exchanged Twitter messages. I've never actually met her, but definitely like familiar with her and her Twitter account.
She's great. Yeah.
She's been on the podcast a few times. Both Gabs.
Female Cleveland sports people that lived in Cleveland. Good stuff.
Yep.
We brought this up. You brought up Brown's Twitter. We talked about this in the episode last week briefly. Brown's Twitter was really always just – there was no such thing as Brown's Twitter, like, up until maybe not even a year ago. Like, obviously, we were all – Browns fans are on Twitter. But now there's this, like, daily war and battle amongst all these Browns fans. Just daily, there's something new to bitch and moan about and argue. And like I said in the episode last week, Brown's Twitter is a cesspool right now. There are so many little cottage industry folks that popped up out of nowhere – not even a year, you know, a few months ago, and they're out here just posting stuff for clicks and retweets. Didn't care about the Browns till again a few months ago. A lot of people know who I'm talking about. It's not hard to find these people on Twitter. And that's why, and again, people are always, oh, just because there is, no, it's males and females I'm talking about here. Let's just get that straight. So, and again, one of the reasons why I'll say you're one of my favorite Cleveland sports follows is because your content. Well, first of all, you make content. A lot of people out here just running their mouths and don't do anything. Number two, the takes that your tweets and your takes, you could tell. And one more thing, far be it for me to ever try and give someone props or criticism on there, because I would unfollow myself on Twitter if I could. I'm horrible at Twitter.
It's true.
Your tweets and all your stuff are just genuine and they're intelligent and you're not doing it for clicks and retweets. It is my outside opinion on your sports content. Yeah. I mean, obviously we all want retweets and clicks, but you just give it and you don't seem to care what people think. You don't really come in with any like outrageous, like, you know, takes like let's trade Baker for Aaron Rodgers or anything. Right. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate that too. Cause I think that's something I've tried to pride myself on is, you know, obviously, like you said, everyone wants clicks and retweets and those things, especially if I'm trying to grow my podcast. I want people directed to my page and I would love them to, you know, click and listen. And that's all great. But I think if you start going down that road, you're going to get lost really fast and you're going to constantly contradict yourself and you're going to, you know, maybe give people an impression of you that's not actually you. So I really try to stay true to myself, my thoughts and my opinions, because I think in terms of long-term growth, that's going to help you at the end of the day rather than just that short-term, you know, maybe get people to quickly follow you right now, but they're
posting
not going to
selfies and all this, these traps.
Stick around and really listen to your content. Like I want people to follow me, like you said, because they like what I'm posting. They're interested in, you know, either listening to my podcast or reading any of my blog posts or any of those things. I want that long-term listener or reader rather than just that short-term one. So I don't have as big of a following as some other people do, but I figure in the long run, it'll pay off and I get to still stay true to myself in doing that.
You hear that, kids? Fly your flag and see who salutes.
And that's what people ask. They say, how do you start a successful podcast? And not that Raleigh and I can answer that yet.
Yeah, we got advertisers. Granted, but not currently. We're poor yet.
not yet this month. Well, next episode probably. But consistency, that's all I tell people, is you're not going to go viral from one episode. Well, you can, but you're not going to take off because of one episode, right? Absolutely. Unless you're built into a bigger, you know, it's different if you're, you know, working for a bigger network or whatnot. They're all built in. But consistency, just keep putting out content. And some of these other, and again, I'm not trying to put any of us on some pedestal over anyone else in the fan base. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm just saying, Twitter used to be just, we would all just try to one up on who could say the most miserable thing about our Browns lives. Or we got this new team, new franchise, right? I say it because I truly believe that's what happened here. Right. But you got these folks coming out of the clouds thinking that, you know, they're on the top of the mountain. And I pay no mind or attention to people coming out here who are now trying to hop on this bandwagon now. Like, you could do like what a lot of other people have done and make podcasts or blogs before the team got good, before we had any of these big name players. So anyway, that's my two cents that no one cares about. I probably already skipped over my voice, but let's hop into some Brown stuff, shall we?
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. And I love OBJ's videos, especially the one he posted a few days ago. My God in heaven. They were all the people were saying on TV, ESPN, all the blogs and Twitter heads, like, well, you know, he's been running. They're showing us videos of him running, or he's posting videos of him lifting and running, but he's not making any cuts. He's not running any routes. And then so you could clearly tell OBJ heard that and goes, all right, hold my beer. Excuse me. Hold my Gatorade or pot, whatever they assigned to, whatever. And he released that video. If you haven't seen, look on his Instagram or Twitter. He's doing way more than cuts. My knees hurt just watching him do what he was doing. And clearly, if he's not there yet, he's pretty damn close to 100%. Abby, I think I saw you tweeting about it. Your thoughts, your take.
I mean, kind of like you just said, he looks incredible, not only in just great shape, but his speed and agility kind of seem back to where it was pre-injury. And I think that's what we were all hoping for, if he was going to have that same type of explosiveness. And I know it's obviously just a video, and you know that correlates differently once you put him on the actual field with our team and into this coming season. But from an outside perspective, that's about as good as you could want him to look coming off of this injury. That really wasn't that long ago when you think about it, the amount of time it's been. He's recovered pretty well so far. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do. I know there's some people kind of down on him in general, just from some people have their opinions of a locker room perspective with him. I think he's probably not as bad as people make it seem sometimes. I think he'll mesh better with Baker than he did in the first half of last season, because he'll be able to get more comfortable in this offense, and Baker will be more comfortable in this offense. So I'm pumped. I'm ready for him to be back.
Do you guys recall, it was like a preseason game against the Browns. I think it was preseason, like 2018, maybe 2017, where we put him out for the season. Was that ACL as well?
It wasn't ACL. Was it a calf? I think it was a calf.
It might have been calf. I don't think it was ACL, but
it wasn't ACL. No, it was his first ACL.
Yeah, I just
maybe a strain. I don't know. Nothing was torn, but it was either calf or something strained. I forget. Good question though.
Yeah, being on the whole team, I truly hope, big knock on wood, it's just going to pay dividends to have one, a competent franchise head coach, front office, but two, being able to practice with the same crew, the same coaches, the second time in a row. Like, we've never done that.
Yeah, especially from the quarterback perspective. Like, you want your quarterback to be comfortable in that offense, and it does a lot of good for Baker that he's had for the first time in his professional career going into this year, a second time with this same offense. And I think that'll just be able to make things better for every receiver and, you know, every weapon that we have, because they'll all be more comfortable.
And not even just the quarterback. I mean, yeah, to your point, quarterback, absolutely. But people have this vision that, I don't know, a running back or a lineman, they just have to memorize a couple of plays. Like, these guys, they all get stacks on stacks of books full of plays that they have to read cadences, everything.
It's a phone book. It's a yellow pages.
And it's like just having the same one 2 years in a row, that's huge.
Yeah.
Not having to start from scratch again, but I'm pretty excited. Should we switch into the OTAs themselves? There's been
real quick
controversy here that has been boiling Kevin's blood. He wants to rant. He hasn't ranted in a while.
First off, we're on video for the listeners. I just got back from the gym. Humble brag. I didn't realize how horrific I do look right now. I am in shambles right now. Feel good though, but just throwing that out there, just so you guys are aware. Okay, I told Raleigh, this might turn into a rant. I don't know where it's about to go, but I want to talk about OTAs. This week, we have roughly, I think it was reported, 50 defensive players in Berea going through walkthroughs, like 2 or 3 days of practice. Denzel is there. Miles Garrett is there. Stefanski is being real tight-lipped on what they actually agree to in terms of the offseason program. Mandatory camp is next week. The whole team will be there in 2 weeks. The whole team will be there, obviously, for that. Right now, it's just the defense. Next week, there's 4 days of practice as well, OTAs. Guys, optional. Remember that word, optional. I guess the one thing I was surprised at is that Jadeveon Clowney is not there this week. Seeing that Miles and Ward are there, you know, the two biggest names, returning names on the team, the defensive side of the ball, I mean. So they're out there trying to set the tone, which I love. Here's where this rant now comes into play. The media, Twitter, writers, guys, girls, people, it's June 3rd right now we're recording this. People are obsessing over why it's optional, but they're paid millions of dollars. They should be there. Why isn't Baker there? Why isn't Odell there? Why isn't this and that? Guys, we had none of this last summer, and we won a playoff game, okay? This isn't like – what I'm trying to get to here is – y'all need to relax and stop worrying about who is in Berea at the beginning of June for padless walkthroughs. Yes, I agree. A few days, you know, here and there in the offseason just to get that chemistry, just be comfortable with each other, just hang out, even if you're not doing football stuff, huge. I'm all for it. But people who are treating this like, you know, it's December and guys are skipping practice is blowing my mind.
On a positive note, apparently JOK is looking good, and he – took to Twitter asking for some nickname feedback, and he's looking at the Joker, J-O-K-E-R.
I like that.
That could be – I don't know if that's – it's like – it's tough to give yourself – I feel like he should have come on the podcast and let us give him the nickname, then we would have fielded it.
Open invite, man. I've been tweeting at him. Let's go.
Joke. I mean, maybe that – I can't tell if I like it or not. Is it cringe or is it awesome? It's one of the two.
I kind of like it. I don't know. I guess it'll depend on how the season goes, too. Giving yourself a nickname is like a big thing to do, so you got to really step up and play well to do that.
No, to those of you still listening, put a sick put a sick review in the, the iTunes podcast reviews, the Apple reviews where you can leave a review. Make it 5-star, damn you. And put up what you think should be a sick JOK nickname.
And after that, go over to Just a Girl from Cleveland, do the same thing. What I wanted to put a bow on, and what I was trying to say earlier, but just got a little too carried away. This is, I didn't play football, I played hockey. But guys, this is not like in high school when you go for 2-a-days, your first practice in August, and haven't done one physical activity since your last game 10 months ago. These are professional athletes. All they do is train if they have to, okay? That's the name of the game here. It doesn't matter if they're standing in Berea or not in shorts and a t-shirt going through walkthroughs. All I'm saying is, they're going to have a few days in a couple weeks, the whole team's together. That's great. All these guys are still logging out of the Zoom sessions. They're still talking. They're still people are just making too big of a deal out of OTAs. That's the end of that rant.
Just have some faith in Stefanski and the rest of the front office knowing what they're doing, because I think they know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's what I feel about it too. If Kevin Stefanski is okay with it, and he's having those conversations behind the scenes, it's not like he's unaware that this is happening. I'm sure he's been talking to them. If he's fine with it and they're working through whatever, you know, issues there are or anything, if there are any issues, then we're good. We can be fine with it. It's not like this is 2019 when you're coming in with Freddie Kitchens and OBJ misses OTAs and everyone's like, oh, this is not a good sign. Totally different time than where we are now in 2021.
Talk to him, Abby. Talk to him.
It kind of sucks. It doesn't suck, but when you make internet memes, Brown specific team friendly memes, and there is just no controversy, it's like sometimes you make something pertaining to the controversy. You're like, oh well, somebody's going to do it, and you do it. This is like, I haven't posted a thing in like a week. Like, I have no idea what to talk about.
Little surprised at your inactivity lately.
I've been golfing a lot. I'm getting new clubs, getting fitted this weekend. Shot an 89 on Sunday, and I'm sick of golf again, Kevin.
How'd you do on the back?
That's pretty good.
Stefanski, speaking of that chiseled jaw one, his press conference yesterday was hilarious. I watch all the press conferences because I have no life, but he is so – he's the new like Belichick when it comes to how he's talking to the media. Now, wait. Belichick's on an island of his own when it comes to that. He's not there yet, but I love watching. I'd love if he would actually give, you know, the answers to questions, but he's not going to, and he shouldn't have to. You could tell he just gets the media so angry because he doesn't answer the questions, or he answers them so masterfully. He's a politician and he's the best at it. And he keeps everything close to the chest, him and AB. And that's why we keep saying over and over again, it's so nice to finally have a competent adult organization for the first time in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next topic. Sorry, go ahead.
He always has that little smirk on his face too when he knows he's getting an answer that's going to frustrate everyone, and he knows he could give more, but he's not going to. He always has that little smile, and you're like, okay, I get you, Kevin. I know what you're doing.
I am always so impressed, and obviously, you talk to these people several times a week, you're going to learn all their names, but I still appreciate that he acknowledges every reporter by their name.
Yeah.
Every time someone asks a question, he answers back using their first name. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, during his press conference yesterday, great segue by me on the next topic, he announced that Myles Garrett's pickup basketball career has ended. He is officially retired. Anyone not living under a rock or the 480 bridge have seen Myles' videos on Instagram or Twitter the past several months of him just making kids look like fools in the gym, on the court with his runs. He was doing the dunks. He would look like he would look like a professional basketball player. Because he's
the Cavs could use him.
Oh, no doubt. So anyway, your thoughts, Abby. Rest in peace to Myles' pickup career. And I think it's pretty obvious that the Browns told him, "You need to stop doing this."
Yeah, and you know it's understandable. You don't want any unnecessary injuries coming from his basketball play, but it was fun to see those clips throughout the last few months show up. It actually kind of reminded me a little of the one NBA season when there was like some type of player lockout type strike thing, and LeBron was like touting that he was going to go play football for a bit. And you just like picture someone who plays one sport so well switching to another sport. It kind of makes you wonder if they would have ever made that different choice, what their life would have looked like. You know, I think that with LeBron, sometimes with football, what he would have looked like. But you know, you never know what Myles Garrett could have done if he would have played basketball. He looked impressive.
I bet he could have. I mean, I can't say that with certainty, but
right.
I mean, when you're at peak athlete, like you're a gigantic dude that can move, you're fast, you can cut like that. Yeah, that probably translates to basketball. I'm kind of thankful that Kevin put the kibosh on the basketball career.
Yes.
Because like, please, sir, who knows what can happen on a 360 dunk that you can't
see,
do.
That's exactly it. Is it got to a point I'm not the fun police here. And I loved watching those videos.
Stefanski's the fun police. He does it for us.
That's fine. That's true. He's fine. Good cop, bad cop. But it was getting to a point. Some of those dunks Myles was posting, like the 360. I was like, oh, this is getting a little too little too much for our one of the best players in the world to be doing in another sport right now. So, yeah, a reporter asked Stefanski yesterday about Miles' basketball career. Stefanski said he's retired, and that's all he was going to say. So it's very clear that the Browns also caught on to and saw the videos and were like, yeah, we're done with that. So maybe play horse, no more dunking.
Abby, kind of a fun trivia answer to your when you were talking about if guys would have played the other sport, who knows what would have happened. Look up, and this goes to all of you listening, look up Allen Iverson football, like on Google or whatever. The clips of him in high school are...
What position did he play in high school?
Quarterback. He was insane. He said it was the sport he was better at. I don't know why, like, his mom made him play basketball or something like that. but the highlights are unreal. I'm like, yeah, he could have been something special. Wow.
That's fascinating. I mean, he's quite the athlete, so I could definitely see that being true. But yeah, I wonder, I feel like from a parent perspective, she was probably like, the concussions in football, I'm not letting you keep playing this basketball. It is just in terms of life and how you're going to live happy on football.
Football is going to look very different in a few years.
I don't know where the contracts, the NBA contracts as absurd back then when he played.
Because I remember, actually, I don't want to bring up that scumbag. It was about a former Browns player who is now going to go to jail for a long time. But I was thinking about when he got an accident, and that's when I remember hearing about it back then, is a lot of these contracts, I mean, obviously it can be whatever the team wants to put in it, and if the guy signs it, that's it. Like, you can't, like, jet ski. You can't ride motorcycles. You can't do, like, anything like that or, you know, whatever. But I get you get what I'm saying. Last topic I wanted to address today. I don't want to mention the name of the writer. I don't want to mention the outlet, the media outlet that it came out of. We have to, and I hate to do it, but we have to do it, to address the top 100 player list that came out this week in the NFL. I'm not going to say anything bad about the writer. What he did, that's between him and his God, what he did with that top 100. There's so many things wrong with it. And let's take Browns fandom aside. Let's just go in as a football fan. No, let's go in as just a human being. Baker's not even on the list. He's one of the last handful of quarterbacks standing last year. He had a top five second half of the season. Not even on the list. Chubb is so far down the list. Miles, I think it was okay. I forget exactly where he was.
They didn't give much love to Teller.
Denzel Ward. Teller is behind, like, Joe Burrow. He's, like, 95th. The best guard in the NFL. So that's the thing. Like, when you have the best guard, the number one lineman in the league, as your bottom 90-something on your top 100 list, that's not Browns fandom. That is when it comes out. That is absurd. If I played for another team, I'd say the same thing. Any of your takes on that?
I'm kind of pleased with it just because – one, it's better content when the hosts disagree with each other, but two, I'm like, those lists, they mean less than nothing, and quite frankly, I do believe that the majority of NFL players read those lists, and a bunch of our guys got snubbed. Sick. Light a fire under their asses, make them try to prove a point. I like it, because when you list Baker at 15 or not that he fit whatever, it's like, well, it doesn't put wins on the board. So let's see, to quote Mary Kay, are you going to be a mad Baker or a happy Baker? And then he said something like, now I was going to use this as, I butchered it, but whatever.
We all remember that. Before Abby jumps in, I want to say, when we were messaging back and forth, Abby and I earlier, we were talking about what topics we're going to address tonight. I said, I'll probably rant about how people need to relax with who's in Bria this week and who's not. Raleigh will then probably disagree with me, rinse and repeat. So, yes, you are correct. And host disagreeing is what puts asses in the seats. Abby, yeah. Top 100 list. I saw you tweet or write about it too, I think.
Yeah. So, obviously the one that caused the most conversation was Baker. I do think Nick Chubb was definitely low on there. I know he shared a lot of snaps with Kareem, but he was incredible, and I just don't think you can have him that low on the list. I think with Baker, Of course, I think he's better. He had a similar QBR last season to Tom Brady. I mean, he should not be that low on the list, but at the same time,
he's not on the list.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. But he was in the little like written after. It was like close following. And I think with that, Baker, the one thing we know about Baker is that he does the best when people are doubting him. That's been his entire collegiate career was that.
Loves it.
He loves it. We saw in 2019 when people acted like the Browns were going to win the Super Bowl, he didn't play as well. And that was for a lot of reasons that you can't only attribute it to that. But I think he likes when people are doubting him, and he likes when people don't think he's going to succeed, and he wants to prove people wrong. So I almost think it's best case scenario for people like that writer to be talking about the Browns in a way that's not like, hey, they're going to win the Super Bowl, because I don't want the unnecessary pressure coming into this season. I want expectations to be managed.
Yeah, I'm just going to start making what you said about Baker spot on. I'm just going to start making lists of like ranking guys, yes. Snubbing Baker, tagging him in it. And then he just gets mad. And then he like to spite us. Wins like back-to-back Super Bowls.
You could just bribe different writers to like move him down on the list. Like, you know, just write different ESPN writers and say, hey, can you put Baker a little lower just for motivation?
Yeah. And like,
so now we can announce this. Baker's not listening to this, but his in-laws and his parents listen. We could tell them, you guys see us making these lists, they're not real. We'll tell his parents know that now.
Yeah. It's all for motivation. We're
just trying to trick your son-in-law into back-to-back Super Bowls. Doing it out of love for the team and for him.
One more. This is non-Browns, but before we sign off here for the week, Abby, your Twitter bio somewhere, I think you proclaim to be the biggest LeBron James fan on the planet. Yes. What are your predictions for Game 6 against Phoenix tonight? LeBron's maybe first-round elimination game?
Yeah, I don't think the Lakers are going to win. I mean, I watched the first half of last game and had to turn it off because it was just absolutely atrocious. No one wanted to shoot the ball. LeBron only had 7 points in the first half. He ended up with 24, which was leading the team, but he was the only one who could play. Anthony Davis sitting there injured, looking so mad at the team for what they were doing. And I just don't see them being able to turn it around tonight. I mean, who knows? They could prove me wrong, but it was pathetic last game watching.
Where either tonight it's either going to be another blowout like it was, or it's going to be one of those LeBron all-world career performances. There's no middle ground. I agree. When he just stormed off with like 5 minutes left, it gave me PTSD of the last game before the first time in Boston.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Tore his jersey off. I'll never forget it.
I did feel a little better about like the 07 finals team, though, because I don't think we ever had a game where their backcourt didn't score a single point. KCP and what's wrong with me? Point guard. They combined for 0 points. That's your starting backcourt.
Yeah. There were a lot of guys that had like 3 points. Like
Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder.
Oh, sure. Yep. He sucked.
Like, look, I might be as athletic as a cow, but I would maybe get 1 point, at least a free throw, as a professional NBA player. But anyway, like we don't want to get too crossover. In a game. A playoff game, starting backcourt with LeBron James, I'm getting an easy dish somewhere. I'm getting a dime. I'm just chucking the whole game. Don't even look at me. It's real. Look, I think that's everything yes, it is. One more thing I do want to talk about.
Oh, God
more
damn
like
it.
An announcement. No, just an announcement, really, a statement. Right. Today, the Indians came out and said they have over 1,000 names that they generated in terms of the names that will replace the Indians in a year or two. I just want to say that I need everyone here, because everyone, we're all Indians fans too. Cleveland, we're all fans of the same team. I need you guys to just accept the fact it's going to be an epic failure and disaster. Maybe 10%, 5% of people are going to like the name. We're all going to hate the name. We're going to call them the Tribe forever. They're going to keep the C. That's all that matters. Do not get your hopes up for this name. It is very clear that Dolan is going to just do something stupid per usual. That's all I have to say. Abby, will you please do us the honor of plugging your podcast and Twitter? I also have it in the episode description and website.
Yeah, Absolutely. So my podcast is called Just a Girl from Cleveland. You can obviously just find it anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, everywhere. The website I have all of my blogs on is justagirlfromclee.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @Abby_Mueller_. I just give all of my random thoughts that come to my head throughout the day on everything happening in Cleveland sports. And yeah, that's it.
And that blog, I mean, you do like mock drafts. Like you go deep into these. You're not just putting up fluff pieces.
Yeah, I did some, I do a mock draft usually. And then last season, I kind of throughout the season posted my weekly predictions across the NFL on what was going to happen, just to also test my accuracy and seeing what was going to happen. So, you know, last year it worked well because the Browns had a lot of wins, and I always try to pick the Browns to win if I think they have a legitimate shot. So we'll see how it goes this season.
We have our superstition with that in our predictions every week on the episode. Raleigh predicts like an 80-point blowout every week. So you keep doing that. We'll keep doing that. Yes. But Abby, thank you so much again for coming on. Truly appreciate it. Raleigh, any closing thoughts?
No, that's good night, Cleveland.
Everyone, awesome. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Good night, Cleveland.